life after death.
Amen.
Luke chapter 16, verse number 19. Stand with me and let us read this together. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence. Oh Lord, again this morning, thanking you, Father, for all these blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be in your house one more time. Thank you, Lord, for these that are bowed with us. We pray, Lord, your blessings upon each family, every home represented, every individual here. We ask you, dear Father, that you'd bless them. We ask you, dear God, again, that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Give us power to preach one more time. Strengthen our body. Lord, we pray today, God, that you'd strengthen our mind and strengthen our body. And help us to preach that you lay on our heart. We pray, Lord, that you'd give us the words that we need to say. Lord, that your word might find its lodging place in the hearts and the lives of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building. We ask you now, Lord, to go with us. Lord, go with us and give us what we stand in need of. Save, Lord, those that are lost and revive those that are backslidden. Yes. And Lord, what you do for us, we'll be careful to thank you and we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You that read the Bible, I know this story of the rich man and Lazarus. You probably, or the beggar, you probably have read this, heard this preached on multiple times, I'm sure. And when we talk about this text, most of us preachers, we begin to expound over the fact on hell. But there is, not only in the text do you find hell here, but you also find heaven here in the text. And so we know by the scripture that when a person leaves this world, that there's only two places that he goes. It's either heaven or hell. According to the word of God, that's not my opinion. I could not have come up with that on my own. There's no way how that man could have derived with the fact that there is a heaven or a hell. Amen. Had it not been for the Bible. Amen. The Bible tells us so. And so how we know that fact according to God's word. Now, everywhere, and depending upon how you value God's word, will depend upon whether you believe that or not. I believe the Bible to be true. I believe every word of the Bible is true, whether it's red letters or black letters. I believe it's all true. It's from Genesis to Revelation. I believe it's God's inspired word. And it's infallible. Nowhere there does it ever cross. And it's inerrant. You will not find one place in the Bible that's wrong. Every bit of it. It's been tried. It's been searched. Folks have been looking at it. They've tried to find error in it. And they can't find any error in it. And how they try to point out some infallibleness in it. But they can't find that. And so how we stand on the Word of God and the Word of God alone. And so we know today that there is life after death based upon the Word of God. Now, there have been a lot of folks tell me about out-of-body experiences. Have you ever heard them? I heard one man, Mr. Nunley, on Pine Mountain several years ago. I went to visit an old man, and he was in his 80s, had never been saved, as far as I knew, had never been saved. And I went to his house one night, about 8 o'clock one night, sat down with Mr. Nunley and began to talk to him about the Lord and talk to him about salvation. And I mean, I just bare my heart with him and began to tell him about being saved. And I said, Mr. Nunley, I said, have you ever been saved? He said, yes, sir. I said, I've been saved. He said, I died one time. And he said, I was about that tall when I left my body. He said, I went around the world seven times. And after I went around the world seven times, said I went up in the universe. And I flew around up there for a while. And in just a little bit, I flew back down and got back in my body. He said, now, preacher, he said, now, I feel like I've been saved. And I thought about how ridiculous that sounded.
Amen. When you think about it, how ridiculous all that. If he based that on his, he based that as him being saved, he's missed it today. Amen. And I've heard other out-of-body experiences, and as they, and preachers always get them, I guess because we're preachers, and they want to talk about out-of-body experiences when they have died and left their body and came back, and they testify over the fact that there is life after death. And they began to try to convince me that they died and they've got this big stories. And you know, I rarely ever speak about that because that's not my experience. It's their experience. And as they began to tell me, and I don't refute it. I don't say anything much about it. I just let them go ahead and go because I really don't know. I've never died and I've never left my body and supposedly I got to the light or got to the gate and went back home. I don't know about all of that stuff, but I tell you what I do base my belief in this morning is the fact that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, had died on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible teaches us that he literally died. He did not resuscitate or any of that. He didn't. His heart didn't come down to a low beat or any of that. He literally died. It was testified over the fact that out of his body forthwith came blood and water. And how we know that he literally died. And he had taken that body and they carried it to the cemetery and they put it in a borrowed tomb and covered the tomb over and with a stone. And the Bible tells us then 3 days later that Christ Jesus, that God had raised him from the dead. And so we know this morning that according to the Bible, that God had raised him from the dead. But we not only have that, we have the testimony over 500 saints of God had saw him alive after his resurrection. And the Bible tells us the apostles saw him after the resurrection. He had walked into the room without opening a door. He had walked through the door and he presented himself to the apostles and showed them himself alive. Amen. And you remember what the angels told the women at the tomb. I said, that same Jesus that you came down here to look for, he's not here. He has risen, just like he said. And so we know that we have the testimonies. Not only the word of God testifies that there's life after death, but we know that it has been seen that our Lord Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead. Amen. And that satisfies me. Amen. And friend, and so I put my trust and my faith in him that there is life after death. Wouldn't it be a sad day to follow a loved one to the cemetery in a coffin and put them down in the ground and forever without hope of seeing them again? Wouldn't that be a sad day? But I'm glad this morning that there is life after death. And the Bible tells us now of two men that testifies of life after death. One of them went to heaven and one of them went to hell. These were real people. Some people say this is a parable. This is not a parable. These are real people. Two people that literally lived and died. The Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us that Lazarus died and the angels came and carried him to Abraham's bosom. And the Bible said, and also the rich man died. And so we know that both men literally died. The Bible has no reason to lie to us about their death. They both died. But then we get a glimpse of what happened after this life. And only the Bible can tell us that. And only Jesus can know that. I put my confidence and trust in every word that he speaks, every word that God gives us. And so he testifies of two men that has literally died. One goes to heaven, one goes to hell. This evening I want to say to you, or this morning I want to say to you, that those that go to heaven must be born again. They must be saved by the grace of God, or you cannot go to heaven. To go to hell, you simply do nothing. Amen. You just simply do nothing. You just die, and in hell, you lift your eyes. That's as simple as 2 plus 2. And so we know this morning that these were real people that have died. Did you know the Bible tells us that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment? And so we know that that's an appointment that we're all going to have to keep one day, is we all have to die. Rich or poor, educated, uneducated, it doesn't make any difference. Lost or slave, we're all going to leave this world one day, the Bible tells us, and we're going back to God that gave us the breath of life for Him to do with it as He pleases. And so life after death. You find in the text now that this Lazarus died a beggar. The other man died a rich man. But after they had died, they reversed their role. You find now that the beggar becomes rich and the rich becomes a beggar. That's the way it is when you leave this world without Christ or you leave this world with Christ. A beggar's here, rich on the other side. Rich here, listen, rich isn't what caused this man to die and go to hell. What caused him to die and go to hell is that he would not believe the message of the Bible. He would not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore he died in his sins and dies and goes to hell. Life after death. And so we find just a couple of things in the text that'll tell us about life after death. And one thing that I want to say this morning is that those that have died in Christ Jesus live forevermore. Amen. And according to the Bible said that the beggar died and the angels carried Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. Amen. That is representation of God's living. The Bible said that He is not the God of the dead, but He's the God of the living. He said, I, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, He is their father. And He's not the father of the dead, but the father of the living. And so we know this morning that Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, signifying that he's alive. Hallelujah. I'm glad those that live, that are alive in Christ Jesus, when you leave this walks of life, you live forevermore. He said, I come to give them eternal life. He come to give eternal life, life after death. Now, the Bible tells us that the rich man died. It doesn't give very much text concerning the rich man over the fact that he died and in hell he lifted his eyes. He closed his eyes here and lift them in hell. What a tragedy. He went to hell because he would not believe the gospel. The Bible teaches us that this man dies and he goes to hell, and in torment he's there in that place. Now he testifies of hell being a place of torment. He said, would you get Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch it to my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. And so we know a man dies without Christ. He dies in his sins and goes to hell and suffers the punishment of the flames of hell. The Bible tells us that Lazarus cannot go there, and neither can the rich man go where Lazarus is, because there's a great gulf fixed. And he said, Lazarus cannot go there. You cannot come here. So when you talk about life after death, it forever seals the destiny of the individual. They cannot, when you leave this world, where you wind up will forever settle your destiny. Amen. Forever and forever. Once in hell, always in hell. Once in heaven, always in heaven. One great long day with the Lord. And you find in hell, the Bible teaches us that when a man goes to hell, he forever dies, but never dies. He suffers death all the time, but he never dies. So I believe that there are some things worse than death. I do. When I look at my loved ones that have died with cancer, I could not imagine them having to suffer with cancer being eat up, literally their bodies being eat up. I talked to a man just yesterday, and he was telling me about his father. His father had cancer on his face, and said that when they took that cancer off, that they took him to a plastic surgeon and they fixed it, and you couldn't tell it. And he was always worried about that particular part because his mother had died in 1968 and her whole face was eat up with cancer, and they took the jawbone out and all of her face was ripped away from her face because of cancer. Now, can you imagine having to sit there and watch your loved one forever and forever to be eat away with cancer? I'm telling you, it's a sweet release for a child of God to step out of this body and this life into yonder's world in that new place of glory. Hallelujah. I'm telling you this morning, I'm glad, thank God, that there is life after death.
Amen.
This man died, and in hell he lifted his eyes. The Bible tells us now he's tormented, and there's the gulf there, and they cannot pass from here to yonder. And so he begins to cry to Father Abraham and tells him to go in yonder's world and tell my five brethren about this awful place that I am at. And listen, now I believe that hell is filled with prayers of people there today that are constantly praying, but they're never heard nor answered. The Bible said that Abraham had told this man that they have Moses and the prophets. He said, let them hear them. And you remember what he said? He said Moses and the prophets pointed to Christ. And
yeah,
if they would not believe Moses and the prophets, they will not believe one, though he was raised from the dead. And
yeah,
I'm going to tell you this morning, that's the only hope that we have, is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ,
yeah,
and the resurrection of him. Amen. Had he not rose from the dead, we'd all been failed. Every one of us would be a failure today and die forever lost. But in the Bible tells us that Lazarus died in Abraham's bosom. He rested. Now, I don't know what they're doing in heaven. I don't know what they're doing in heaven. I don't believe in soul sleep. I don't. I don't believe when people leave this world, they're floating around in sleep. I believe they're just as consciously awake as you and I are in heaven. I get that because in the book of Revelation, when John seen them, saints of God there, their conversation is with the Lord there. He said, how long shall the blood be avenged until he comes and gets us? And,
yeah,
and there's talking. I don't know what's going on in heaven, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about heaven. It's a place, the Bible tells us, where there's always peace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. There's no more sorrow. There's no more pain. There's no more death. You never have to fight that. There's never an ill word spoken in glory. There's never a cloud, no raindrop in heaven. Somebody said, well, they turn the air conditioner just right. You'll never have to worry about the weather. It'll be just right. The sun, S-U-N, will have no need of shining in that place. They'll have no need for the moon, for the sun is the light of that city, the brightness of the Son of God. You know what makes us feel good? The sun. Somebody said, after a long, dreary winter and cloudy days and rainy days, if we could just feel the sunshine one day, I believe we'd feel better. Somebody said, if I could just get under the sun, I could get dried up and this cold would be gone, and all of my illness would feel so much better. It helps our arthritis. It helps everything about us if we could just get under the sun. I tell you, it's sweet peace. Hallelujah. When we get under the sun, the S-O-N, forever and forever, they're in the very presence of the Son of God.
Amen.
Forever and forever. Life after death. I don't know. I don't expect there to need no gardening over there. They don't need to worry about feeding livestock. Chicken business or clothes.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about that anymore. You don't have to worry about all the hustle and bustle in this life that we deal with down here. I had the privilege of marrying a young couple last night. Knew the boy since he was just a little bitty fellow. Wasn't, I guess, about Jack's age. I guess maybe a little younger. Barely was talking. Had the privilege. They'd called me a month or two ago when I married him, and I consented to marry him. And a great big strapping of a Marine steps up to the altar, dressed up in his Marine uniform, and his precious bride comes the back door. She bust through. I told him before he went out, I said, son, I said, I want you to know that you'll feel like Christ feels when he sees the church. And he, when the church is presented to Christ as the bride, without spot, without blemish, I said, you're fixing to feel like that. I said, because marriage is like that. It's a liking to the church and being married to Christ. And I said, when you see her, those butterflies and that excitement to be there. And sure enough, boy, she busted through that door and there was a beautiful bride. And she come up there and we had the best. I even had communion service at the wedding. First time ever held a communion service with them too. What a blessing that was. And it was such a joy. I'm telling you, such a joy. But when we got to the last part of that, when we said, until death do us part. And it just sunk. Till death do us part.
Right.
Then I'm reminded that the contract of marriage is over with at death.
Yes.
One of the greatest blessings of my life was when me and Miss D married. And what a blessing that was. And the commitment and the love we have for one another. And then at death, we finally, that contract is broken. And now we go to heaven where there is no male or female. There is no marrying or giving in marriage.
Right.
And the focus is no longer on this life, nor is it focused on me or her. But the focus is Christ.
Amen.
And the relationship between Christ and his church. Spotless, without blemish.
Amen.
Amen. All of this down here will be nothing but a fade. And that up in glory will take place forever and forever in heaven.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Life after death. I'm going to tell you, I'd choose life any day.
Yeah.
I'd choose life any day.
Right.
The beggar died. The angel came and got him. I tell you about my mother when she died. Mother asked me, is Jesus going to come get me when I die? I never will forget that. I can't help it. And I was sitting at the bedside, and she was at the hospital. And just out of the blue, she says, William, can I ask you something? I said, I got up to her bed. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, when I die, she says, is Jesus going to come get me? I looked at my mother, and I said, you better believe it, Mom. I said, he ain't going to send an angel. He ain't going to send daddy. He ain't going to send nobody. He's coming to get you. And she looked at me and smiled, and she said, that's going to be nice. I said, yes, ma'am, it sure will. And sure enough, 4:30 in the morning, Mama hadn't opened her eyes, hadn't conceded that she was even in the world for several hours. She laid there, and we thought for sure that she is going to pass on any time. And Dee came and got me on the couch asleep. She come and got me. She said, William, said your mama's really low. Said she's fixing to leave. Said, y'all need to come on in here. So we all gathered around the bed. And we was all around the bed in silence. We was just weeping. And we was there not saying anything, just standing there. And just a little bit, my mother popped them eyeballs open, and she looked around, and she looked at us, and she was gone.
Yeah.
I said, Jesus came and got her. I'm going to tell you, there's life after death.
Amen.
Choose life. Don't choose death. The rich man died, and in hell, he lifted his eyes. Don't choose death. Choose life. I'd like for us to get a song here this morning. That may have been a little scattered, but it's what the Lord gave me. Some of you this morning question what's going to happen. They question in the book of Corinthians. They ask about the body. Well, what about the body? If there's life after death, what about the body? That's all they knew. Well, this life. Paul straightened them out with the body. Said, we're going to bury this incorruptible. It's going to be raised incorruptible.
Yeah.
Amen. It's going to be sown in weakness and raised in power. This morning, why don't you come choose life this morning while we sing. Come